morning, church.
Good morning.
May we stand? Can we say a quick word of prayer before we start? Yes?
Yes?
Yes. Can those who speak in tongues please start speaking in tongues? And who can worship God, please worship. Father, we just thank you for this new day. And Father, in your name, we just declare the ministry of your presence to be released in this place. Father, I pray the ministry of your presence to be released in this place. I pray that there be a breakthrough of the spirit of revelation. And Father, I just speak breakthrough, Father. Can we just lift our voices and pray? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare the ministry of the presence of the Holy Spirit to be released in this place. Quicken your word, sharpen your word, build us in what you have to speak today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now there are you awake? Yes?
Yes.
So there are two ways the anointing is released. Yes? What are the two ways? Through scripture. Anyone? I spoke about it last month. There are two ways the anointing is released. The one is, repeat after me, the laying on of hands.
Laying on.
Repeat after me. One, the laying on of hands.
The laying on of hands.
Second, the spoken word.
The spoken word.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm believing that even as I speak, I'm believing that there's an anointing that's going to be released. Amen.
Amen.
And if you can sense that, I want you to just cooperate with that anointing, and you can say an amen.
Amen.
Amen is not a bad word. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah is not a bad word.
Amen.
You're not saying a hallelujah or amen to me, you're saying it to his word.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Can we agree in one accord for that?
Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Quickly raise your hands, those of you who were there last month. We spoke on, I thought a bit on dark sayings.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, since we have a couple of new people here, we'll recap a bit of what was spoken. Now, when I say dark sayings, it sounds so mysterious and it sounds so dangerous, okay?
Yeah.
But it is actually a protocol followed in the kingdom of God. It's a way in which God speaks to his people. Amen?
Amen.
I will quickly recap a bunch that I've thought through last week. Can someone open Numbers 12, 6 to 8?
Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream."
Okay, so how does the Lord make himself known?
In a vision.
Okay, church, how does the Lord make himself known? To a prophet in the Old Testament. In a
vision
or a dream. Okay. Now in the Old Testament, the prophets were the mouths of God. Amen?
Yes.
They were the literal representatives of God. When someone had to hear what God was speaking, God would send a prophet. Amen? A prophet always marked a change in season or a change in what God was doing. In the Bible. Okay. The same is of there in the New Testament. But in the New Testament, so repeat after me. All can prophesy.
All can prophesy.
Okay. Not all are prophets, but all can prophesy. Amen? So can you read verse 7 as well? Numbers 12, verse 7.
"Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house."
So, verse 8.
"I speak with him face to face, given plainly and not in dark sayings.
Okay, stop. Can we repeat that, church? I speak to him
face to face,
plainly,
and not in dark
sayings. I'm just underlining that. So what is this dark sayings? The dark sayings is basically God speaking in a vision or in a dream. Are you with me?
Yes.
If you look through the word, the Hebrew word for dark saying, the other meaning of it is a puzzle, an enigma, a conundrum. So God speaks in puzzles. How many of you know in the New Testament when Jesus had to talk about the kingdom of God, what did he speak in? In parables. We have, what do people say parables are? Earthly teachings with a heavenly message. They are parables, they are puzzles. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
So, God speaks in dark things. Jesus also spoke in the same. Now, why am I talking about this now in the New Testament era, 2000 years once in church? Turns out, God still speaks the same. Amen? I'll give you an example. My wife and I have set a strong standard to what we're going to accept as the voice of God in our lives. In the sense, let me distinguish that for a bit. Whenever I hear people tell me that, you know, God spoke to me about this, and when I ask them a question, what did God tell you? They'll say, I felt like it. I felt peace. I felt this. I felt that. You can you relate to that? Yes? I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying there's a higher place where God Himself can break your box and speak.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
The only difference is you didn't know before. Are you there with me?
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, dark things, what are these? So when you look in the Old Testament, whenever the word of the Lord is mentioned, the word of the Lord does not come in speech. Okay, now when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking in speech, right? But when God spoke a word, it used to come in a vision. It used to come in a picture. Are you there with me?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. I'll just go through some quick examples for that. Genesis 15 verse 1. And someone take, Cherub take Genesis 15 verse 1, Lynn take Ezekiel 1 verse 3. Ezekiel 1 verse 3. Yeah, you go ahead.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision.
Okay, how did the word of the Lord come to Abraham?
In a vision.
Repeat after me. The word of the Lord,
came to Abraham
in a speech or what?
In a vision.
Okay, now Lynn, can you read your portion? Actually, read from verse 1.
Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God.
Okay, he saw what?
Visions of God.
He saw visions of God. Now verse 3.
The word of the Lord came expressly.
Okay, it's very interesting for me because you read that he saw visions of God and then he's saying the word of the Lord came expressly to me. If you combine those verses, it's like he saw what he's supposed to hear. You get what I'm trying to say? Meaning the word of the Lord had come in a vision. Are you seeing the dots? Yes, there are a lot of examples throughout scripture as well. If you go through every single encounter in the New Testament, you will see this picture over and over and over again. The word of the Lord and there's a vision, there's an encounter. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you know God still encounters His people?
Yes.
It is not just for the prophets in the Old Testament. Repeat after me. God encounters
the
people He loves.
God
the people he loves.
And the people who are in love with him.
And the people who are in love with him.
The only criteria for Jesus to meet you is that you love him. Is that simple? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, in line of this, how does this work? Okay, we spoke also about a bit of Jesus as well. When he ministered on earth, how did Jesus minister? Jesus was on earth at the same time he was where? In heaven. So it is possible for a person, so Jesus set the standard for us to walk on the earth. Okay, I'm going to repeat this. Jesus set the standard for us to walk on the earth. If I am to have a relationship with the Father, I am invited to have the same relationship Jesus had with the Father. Amen?
Amen.
If not, it makes no sense why Jesus died. We are called to enjoy the reconciliation of God. Okay, I need to repeat that. We are called to enjoy the fact that we are reconciled with God.
Amen.
God takes delight in us delighting in Him. God rejoices in the fact that we make Him our express and chief joy. Amen? So, I'm saying this because God is not like a person way up there and we have nothing to do with Him. He is intimately involved with the things in our life and the things that we do. Amen?
Amen.
Very, very clearly intimately involved. Okay. The issue with that intimate involvement is to figure out how is He speaking and how do I hear Him? Amen? That's where the issue lies. Because turns out, God isn't a natural being. Hello? God is who? Is spirit. Okay, let's get rid of that. So, Jesus was on earth and in heaven. Someone take John 3:13. Are we all there? John chapter 3 verses 13. Can someone apart from Cherub read?
No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man.
Okay. So, where is the Son of Man? Okay, read that verse again. Where is the Son of Man? No one has. Can we all read that once again together? One, two, go.
No one has ascended to heaven, but He came down from heaven, and that is the Son of Man who is in heaven.
So where is the Son of Man?
In heaven.
But He is on earth talking to Nicodemus.
Yeah.
So you understand, spiritual beings have the ability to walk in the earth and the heavens in the same time. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know if you know this or not. You are a spirit being.
Yes.
The second, anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as God, their spirit becomes alive. And the spirit becomes transformed, awakened to a new nature. And that spirit becomes one with the Holy Spirit. Are you there with me?
Yes.
So it turns out the Holy Spirit is not somewhere away. And the purpose of your body becomes the literal temple for the Spirit of God to reside and live in you with your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Do we agree in that?
Yes.
Do I need to teach on that?
No.
Yes? Okay, if you want scripture verses for that, 1 Corinthians 6:17, 19, you can write it down, meditate on it, and to understand how I can be on earth and in the heavens at the same time, please write on Ephesians 2:4-6. where it says we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus was, while he was on earth, he was giving us a secret, saying the Son of Man is in heaven as well at the same time. And the way he ministered on earth, whenever he ministered, he saw the Father doing something and he did it. Yes? Amen?
Yeah.
John 5:19. Can someone quickly read that? If you can, just memorize it. That's a verse I keep saying over and over this season. John 5:19.
Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner."
So it's interesting, right? Jesus is saying the Son can do absolutely nothing of himself, but whatever he hears what the Father is saying. Right?
No, sees.
Sees the Father.
Hello?
Yeah.
Are you seeing that?
Yeah.
So Jesus was walking in a dimension where he saw the Father doing. And whatever the Father did, he did. Turn to your neighbor and say, if Jesus did it, you can do it. And turns out, he's expecting greater works than his. Amen. But if we have to do the greater works, we have to first start doing what he did first. I'm not even getting into the signs and wonders part. I'm getting into the relationship he had with his Father. Because if we have that, the signs and wonders will automatically follow. Amen.
Amen.
Signs and wonders is never an issue in the scripture. Healing is never an issue in the scripture. Miracles are never an issue in the scripture. You have the relationship, it will all follow. Amen? There is a big debate in the church about the whole thing of blessings. How they say, you know, you should go after the blesser and not the blessing. My thing is, the blessings follow you. Amen?
Yeah.
And he is just the sustainer. As long as I seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And what I mean by his kingdom is the way his kingdom operates.
Yeah.
Because I cannot expect him to operate on my terms.
Yes.
It is very imperative we understand that. Turn to your neighbor and say, God never changes. Only we have to change. Amen.
Amen.
His way has been the same throughout the Old Testament. Now, in line of talking about dark sayings, and you understand what dark saying is, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm believing like teachings like this, if you've never heard of it before, they're going to be a lot more popular in this season at least. Okay. Okay. Now, just take this room that we're here. If you have a TV antenna in this room, what will happen? It'll pick up the TV signals.
Yes.
If you have a radio, it'll pick up the radio frequency. If you have your phones, it'll pick up the mobile network frequency. My question is, do you see it? Do you see the frequency that it flows? No, right? But is it there?
Yeah.
Is it there?
Yes.
How do you know that? Through your phone, because it works. Same way, how is the frequency of the Spirit of God determined? By your lives. Amen?
Amen.
Are you there?
Yes.
And sometimes, to hear that frequency of the voice of God, if I'm there in the natural, you think I can tap into that dimension that God is speaking from?
No.
No. You're getting what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Because John 4:24 says, God is spirit.
Yes.
and those who worship him have a choice to worship him in spirit and in truth. Must. There's no choice. Must worship in spirit and in truth. And this is something Jesus said 2,000 years ago. My thing is, if Jesus sets a standard for worship and he says, must in spirit and truth, what about hearing his voice? Amen?
Amen.
Worship is, after all, response to what he is and what he says. Amen?
Amen.
Are you there with me?
Yes.
In fact, so God is spirit. In order for me to hear him, I need to have a connection to the dimension that he's speaking from. Are you here with me?
Yeah.
Because the second I'm aligned with that dimension he's speaking from, repeat this after me. The voice of God,
the voice of God
comes along with its benefits.
With its benefits.
And the benefits is all the resources of heaven.
Amen.
All. Not a tiny bit. Literally all power and authority in the universe. Okay, let me not get me wrong. What do I mean by this? It means, did Jesus stop the weather?
Yes.
And Jesus is saying greater works than this you can do. Right?
Yes.
And the Bible even talks about Elijah, and it calls for a man with a nature as ourselves, how he prayed for the rain and the rain, and how he stopped. And when you read about his part, he says it will stop raining according to my voice, according to my word. So if the scripture is saying Elijah, a man, a nature of us, what happens when we literally walk in the nature of Christ? I mean, he is the one who created the heavens and the earth. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Coming back to what Jesus said. Jesus, those who worship must worship in spirit. There's an interesting thing that Jesus also spoke in John chapter 6. John 6 verse 63. Can someone take that?
It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing.
Say this.
The flesh
profits absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
What gives life?
The spirit.
Can you continue, Auntie?
The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life.
So the words that come out of the mouth of Jesus is what?
Spirit and life.
Are you there with me?
Yes.
So the second Jesus utters a word, it causes ramifications in the realm of the spirit. And God being God, God has a nature in which he creates the visible from what? The invisible. Okay, these are basics. For God to create something, he just needs the invisible. That's how amazing he is. How did he create the world? With his word, out of nothing. Okay? So he creates the invisible out of the visible, and when he utters a word, it creates ramifications in the realm of the spirit, and there has to be a result quickly come. There is no choice when a word of the Lord is uttered that it cannot go without producing what it is supposed to produce. And turns out, all of us have access to this. All of us. And the craziest part is, you don't even need maturity for it. You just need a heart that's absolutely abandoned and in love with Jesus. is maturity.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Because the heart that loves Jesus does not count the cost. Or doesn't even see the time. Okay, let me follow through quickly. So, repeat this after me. The dimension you hear from,
the dimension I hear from,
is the dimension where you speak from.
Is the dimension where you speak.
So if you're going to be in the natural, and if you hear something in the natural, okay, two things happens in the natural, okay? One is your voice, then whose other voice?
The devil.
The devil. Both are a bad option. Sometimes our own voice can create a lot more mess than the devil.
Yeah.
Okay. But in the realm of the spirit, if us being positioned in the spirit, we have access to all of him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, just as God, who is in spirit, speaks in spirit, all of us, to walk in the way he's called us to walk, need to follow his footsteps and do the same. Amen?
Amen.
Let me go a bit more deeper into this. Can someone take 1 Corinthians 2? Can you take verse 12 and verse 13?
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Verse 13, okay. So when you read, you know, verse 12 and 13, it's really, I think I thought on this a bit before. Okay, verse 12. What does it say? The things freely given to us by God, right?
Yeah.
Now we have not received the spirit that belongs to the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. And we are setting forth these truths, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truth with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. If I have to paraphrase those 2 verses, it says to know the things freely given to us by God, I need the Holy Spirit. And to set those things freely given to God, you know that part in verse 13, that's a little confusing where it says combining and interpreting spiritual truth with spirit. Right?
Yeah.
Have you read that part? When you read the little Greek, it says pneuma with pneuma. Spirit with spirit. Okay? So, the easiest translation, if I could translate that in the easiest way, is literally speaking spiritual truth with spiritual language. If you can write that down, write it. Because the Amplified says combining and interpreting spiritual truth with spiritual language. Repeat this after me. Speaking spiritual truth with spiritual language. And the second you speak those things, the resources of heaven have no other choice but to literally manifest and happen. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're speaking it from his dimension. Okay, write that on. Speaking spiritual truth with spiritual language. Now, what is the spiritual language? I'm talking about one spiritual language today. What is it? Hello? Dark sense. It's a way that God speaks. It's a spiritual language. Tongues is another spiritual language. Amen? Now, the problem with spiritual languages, you need to have a spiritual discipline with them. How many of you are hearing what I'm saying? Anything involving in Christianity, if it's not a lifestyle, has no foundation. And okay, on the topic of dark sayings as well, one of the things that I'll hopefully remember to ask is if any one of you had visions through the month. Okay, why I'm asking it is, if you're going to teach on something where I'm going to say God is going to speak to you in visions, and trust me, He loves to do that. Do you think He won't speak to you? Hello? He will. Alright? Keeping that in mind. So, that process, meaning you've received a revelation about dark sayings because of what is being taught. Therefore, you can expect God to speak from you. Yes?
Yes.
Now, okay, I'll just divert a second for tongues as well. Okay, speaking in tongues. Okay, a spiritual language. How does a child speak a spiritual language? How does a child speak any language? A newborn baby. Does it start with Renan Martin English grammar?
No.
It starts step by step by step by step by step. Say this, spiritual language. Have to be practiced. And in order for them to be practiced, I need to have a revelation of what that practicing of that language does. I never practiced speaking in tongues until I had a revelation of it. I had the gift, but I never invested my time into it. The second I read in my Bible where it says, he who speaks in tongues talks directly to God, I said, oh my gosh, I have this key and I'm not using it. What a fool I am. And the second that word jumped out into my life, it became a revelation. And then I bumped into further revelations like Jude 1:20, where it says, build up your most holy faith speaking in what? Yes. And when I had a revelation of it, I built a lifestyle of it. Amen?
Amen.
There are many people who would have received the gift of tongues 20 years back, but they'll still be talking like babies in regard to the mysteries they speak out of tongues. How many of you know, if you have the gift of tongues, you speak to angels?
Yeah.
And today's message is not speaking in tongues, it's about dark things, but I'm bringing into the concept of spiritual disciplines. Okay, discipline has become a very bad word for all of us. But in my life, I've learned that prayer is something to be enjoyed.
Amen.
Because as long as it's me alone, I'll be like a madman speaking into a wall. But the second I come alive to the realm of the Spirit, I come face to face with a talkative God. And trust me, He's talkative. And He'll make you do things you don't want to do, but when you do it, you will see His hand come through. Amen?
Amen.
Are we there?
Yes.
Okay. Say, repeat this after me. If any spiritual discipline becomes
a
revelation,
it becomes
part of my lifestyle. If it is an information, it'll become a debate. Turn to your neighbor and say, God doesn't want you to debate about spiritual disciplines. He is written in His word. You just live it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I heard Auntie say, full stop, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. I get it. Okay. Now, do you know that when you don't know what to pray, it's called an infirmity? Not knowing what to pray, according to the Bible, is called infirmity. It's called weakness. Are you there? Can someone quickly take Romans 8 verse 26? Can someone read it? Apart from Dulcie Auntie, and Cherub, and Lynn, anyone else?
Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought.
Okay, so do you get what that infirmity is? There's a semicolon right next to it, meaning that this is what that word means. For we do not know what we have to pray for. Who helps us? The Spirit helps us in our infirmities. And how does He help us pray? But the Spirit? Can you read that?
With groanings which cannot be uttered.
With groanings which cannot be uttered. If you can have a discipline with talking in tongues, if you don't talk in tongues, just desire the gift and God will give it to you. Amen? No one had to lay their hands on me for me to get the gift. I'm not against people laying on their hands. If people can lay on their hands to get the gift, please do. I have prayed for people, laid on my hands, and they have gotten the gift of speaking in tongues. And I know many people where God directly visited them and they started speaking in tongues and didn't even know there was tongues. Amen? So, just desire it. Okay? God answers your desires when it pertains to His kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So, in line with spiritual disciplines, how many of us actually take time to groan in the Spirit? Talking in the Spirit is one thing. Groaning in the Spirit is a whole other ballgame. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Let me give you an example. A couple of months back, so when I set my quiet time, I tell God, I'm not giving you an hour. Take however long you want. Okay? The standard that I set for quiet time, and I hope every believer does it, it's very easy for us to give money to God. Right? It's very easy for us to tithe our money, but it's different when you tithe our time. That's giving 2 hours, 20 minutes to Him a day. Okay? So that's the standard that I set for myself every single day. So there was one day where I was just meditating on the Word, praying. Suddenly I sensed a heaviness in my spirit. And then I allowed myself to yield into that heaviness and I started groaning and praying and praying and praying. 2 hours into it, I felt that groaning released and I asked God, what am I praying about? And God showed me a picture of a newborn boy. And I said, ah. Then I asked God, who is it? No response. I said, okay. Then I got a word. And the word automatically came from my mouth. And I said, I rebuke every delay. Come give birth in the name of Jesus. And me being spiritual, gave all sort of interpretations for that simple message. The next day, one of my sister's friends messages me and she's like, I'm in the labor room in pain. I don't know who else to contact to. You preached Jesus to me years back. Please pray. All I had to do is send one simple WhatsApp message. In the name of Jesus, every delay be gone. In 15 minutes, she gave birth. When there was a delay for those 2 days. The problem with people when they don't understand spiritual people, they just see that WhatsApp message. They don't see the 3 hours of laboring in prayer to figure out what on earth this word is for. Amen? And this is not something that just the preacher is called to do. This is something that every believer who tells God, I am available for you, he uses them. Amen? God has his ability to use the weirdest and the craziest of the lots. You want to know why? Because it is through them that he will show my weakness is greater than your strength, my foolishness is greater than your wisdom. Amen? That's how the way God chooses his people. And I say yes and amen and hallelujah. Because half the time we don't know what on earth we're doing. Okay, are you there with me?
Yes.
So for those who speak in tongues, give in to these groanings. Give in to times where you can allow God to use you in just groaning in the spirit. Most of the time you won't know what you're praying for. But it could be something for the week ahead. And the interesting part was, after that, I met several other people who were in labor. I just said the word, in the name of Jesus, delay be gone. Again, give birth. But because I had grown in the spirit, I had heard the word from the dimension from the spirit of God, and I saw a picture of what it's supposed to be. I had access to the authority of heaven. You understand? The issue is the spiritual discipline I have to submit myself to. Amen?
Amen.
I tell this story to a lot of youngsters. When I first met God, I told God, I want you to use me. And I told God, I want you to use me like John G. Lake. I want you to use me like Smith Wigglesworth. I want you to use me like Benny Hinn. And you know what God told me? He said, no problem, you live like them. And I'm like, yeah. Basically, God was saying, if you can live a lifestyle the same way that they had, and push in to have a relationship with me, just like my son had with me, you have all the resources available at your disposal.
Amen?
Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, signs and wonders is not an issue. Not an issue for God. Turn to your neighbor on the other side and say, God is not afraid of the devil. He created him. You know, with the devil, we have to understand one thing. The devil isn't afraid of anointing. He is afraid of revelation. Amen?
Amen?
Because the second we get a revelation of how powerful God is and how powerful we are because of our relationship with God, our lifestyle changes. And the second we enter that dimension, there'll be no, I rebuke this, I rebuke that, I rebuke this, I rebuke that. Because you'll come into an understanding that because I'm a son of light, my presence dispels darkness.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, we were talking about spiritual disciplines. Now, you can have a question. Why on earth does God speak in parables? Right? Why can't God speak plainly? Why is this whole thing that's there? Can someone take Proverbs 25 verse 2? Are you there? If you're there, say I'm there. Proverbs 25 verse 2. Can someone read that?
The glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter.
Interesting, right?
Amen.
I think some of you found a new favorite verse. Proverbs 25 verse 2. Can we read that together? It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is the glory of our kings to search it out. So, we take glory in searching out and trying to understand what he's hidden. Amen?
Amen.
And what he's hidden is for the natural people. And it's interesting because it says the glory of kings to search out a matter. That's the beautiful thing about a relationship with God. It's unpredictable if you can properly walk with God. We recently met a young guy 2 weeks back, and I was telling him the statement, for those who walk with God, please repeat this,
for those
who walk
with God
have no options. No options but His voice.
Yeah.
And that's the best option.
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew 4 verse 4. Can someone read it?
Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone."
But every word that's written on your Bible. Right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that's written on your Bible. Right? Then what does it say? From the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds, meaning it is present, meaning what God is saying now. So I can't take a word that God spoke to me 15 years back and expect to live it now. There's a term for that. You know what's it called? The spirit of stupid. Because a relationship will not be based out of memory of what He spoke to me years back. A relationship will be based on revelation of who He is now and what He's speaking to me now. And if I can be obedient to what He's saying to me now, I have access and I have full agreement with Him now. And when I have full agreement with God, I do not have to be bothered about my limitations or my resources or even the devil at all. I have Him and He's more than enough. Amen?
Amen.
So that word is very interesting. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What is bread supposed to do? It's food that's supposed to sustain. But Jesus is revealing something here. He's saying, my voice is a voice that sustains life in you.
Amen.
Can you catch that? He's saying, not just on bread, but my voice. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God has the ability to create life. And has the ability to create things that can never be created. It has the ability to create houses. It has the ability to create, if there's a barren womb, it has the ability to create twins in the womb. I've seen a lot of weird stuff. I've seen a 55-year-old woman getting pregnant after she's prayed for 30 years for God to fill her womb. And I've seen God do that. There's no limit to what that word, that present word of God can do. It is powerful and it does not border even our physical limitations. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, in line of dark sayings, Acts 10 verse 9. Go to Acts 9. Acts 9 verse 10. Can we read till verse 16? Lynn, can you read it? Acts 9, 10 till verse 16.
Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision.
Okay. Again, New Testament, okay? To him the Lord said in what?
In a vision.
Repeat this after me. In a vision.
In a vision.
So God spoke. speaks in visions even in the New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, if God spoke in the New Testament in visions, He's going to speak to me as well. Turn to your neighbor, other neighbor, and say, if God speaks to you from the Bible,
that
same Bible is telling you,
you
will see visions,
and
old men will dream dreams. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for the Bible. I agree with the Bible. I'm preaching from the Bible. I had a big argument with a person saying, why do you need visions when you have the Bible? I'm like, your Bible, buddy, yeah. Okay. Okay, Acts 9 verse 10. Can we read? Go.
Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and whom the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord.
So it's very interesting to read the dynamics of Ananias and the Lord. Because this, when he says, behold, I am here, Lord, when I read that, I realize this is not the first time he's encountering God.
Yeah.
You understand? It's been a regular thing for him.
Yeah.
Okay, continue. Verse 11.
So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is lame. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings and children of Israel.
Okay, verse 16. Can we all read that? For I will show. So imagine Ananias for a moment, okay? God is saying, go to Saul and talk to him. And Ananias, the second he hears about Saul, he's like, okay, God, listen. This guy is sent here to persecute people like me. And he has authority from chief priest to bind all. And you think God really listens to what Ananias has to say? God tells Ananias, go and tell him how much he has to suffer for my sake. So I want you to think, what must have gone in Ananias' head that moment? When you start hearing the word of God, you don't get the full picture. And many times it makes you go uncomfortable. Amen?
Amen?
But it's the moments of being uncomfortable and the moments where you have no idea what's happening is where you can make a choice to make him be king and not let your reasoning get the hold of your life.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
If there's one revelation I've learned is that God doesn't need my mind, He needs my heart.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And Ananias went and you all know what happened. Can we quickly read the Acts 10? Acts 10 from verse 9. How many of you know of the vision where Peter sees all the unclean animals and
yes.
comes? It's my favorite vision in the Bible, where God proves that He's non-vegetarian. Okay, can we read from verse 11? Acts 10 verse 11.
He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat.
Okay, wait. Okay, so all animals and everything, and God is telling, get up, Peter, arise and kill. God is telling Peter, Peter, what is Peter's immediate response? Verse 14.
Surely not, Lord,
clearly not Lord. Other version says, oh no, Lord. Hello? You know, because Peter's baffled. Because his own Bible is telling him not to eat unclean things. But then he's receiving a word from God saying, eat. And then his response to a visitation from God, he had the guts to say, oh no, Lord. I'm telling you, the reason why I'm teaching on things like this is when you start hearing the voice of God, it's unpredictable. And he has all authority to bypass his own word. He has all authority to move the way he wants to move. He has all authority to come the way he wants to come. He has all authority to visit the way he wants to visit. I cannot dictate terms to him saying, you will only move like this, you will only move like this. I even tell the Lord, my sermon outline cannot be a hindrance from you moving. Because I get bored of myself preaching. Okay, then the beautiful thing is, Peter sees a vision, hears the voice of the Lord. And then he meets Cornelius. What happens in the end of the story? Acts 10 verse 34. Can all of us read this verse together? Can we say, I'm here when we're there?
Yes.
Are we all there? Acts 10, 44?
44.
Acts 10, 44. So after that, he goes to Cornelius' house. Now everyone together. One, two, go. While Peter is going to his word. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible where God interrupts a person's sermon. Amen? I'm like, do it, Lord, do it again. It's high time God takes the platform. So while Peter was still preaching, God could not resist himself, but he came upon his people. All because of a vision and a word, even though he was uncomfortable to listen to that voice. And the Bible even says he was disturbed about the vision that he saw. But he still yielded to it. It is because of this one act that Peter did, I believe that we are all here. This is how Gentiles came to be.
Yeah.
And for him, it disagreed with his theology. Amen? God loves disrupting religion. Amen? Now, in line of... The only hindrance I see, you know, for us to be able to hear the voice of God is our mind. Turn to your neighbor and said, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. He did not say, come to me and think.
Amen.
Amen. Because God takes delight in us not walking in understanding. In our own understanding. He takes delight irrespective of what happens. If we can learn to trust and abide and say, I don't need to understand. You've spoken and you are powerful and able to speak to do what you've spoken. Amen.
Amen.
I'll end with this story. A brother of mine, he moves amazingly in the prophetic. Something happened to him a while back. Him and his wife, they lost their daughter. Okay. these are moments where you cannot console the person, right? So I heard that, I was heartbroken when I was working, and I was completely heartbroken. They both wanted a break. Obviously, they wanted a break from their house, they wanted a break from everything. So they decided to just pack their bags and just go on a vacation. They moved on to a hotel. You know, the problem when someone loses their child, both the parents grieve a lot, you know. And I took a lot of focus on making sure the mom was okay, praying for her. I didn't give much of attention to the dad. But he was grieving heavily, like heavily grieving. And, you know, his wife told me that, and he's like, pray for him also. And I'm like, okay, you can't console people, you know, when they're like this. So, a week goes by, they're still on their break, they're trying to clear their head. He gets up in the hotel to have tea, his wife is sleeping. He sits in his table and he's having tea. And while he's having tea, Jesus walks up into the room and asks him, do you have tea? Now, I'm not talking about a vision, I'm talking literally right before him. And he sits down, Jesus sits down with him, has tea with him. They have a conversation for 45 minutes. And Jesus disappears right before his eyes. This is not something that happened years back, this is something that happened months. I asked him, what on earth did he talk about? And I asked him, how was he? And then he's like, I can't explain it. And I asked him, what did he tell you? And Jesus told him, your daughter is with me. And ever since that, they've been rejoicing in the house. And if you look at them, you will not think these two are a couple that lost the kid. It's mind-boggling to see the way Jesus restored joy. I have a suspicion in the church, or at least in Chennai, because Chennai is such a religious city. There's a church in every single street of the town. And the problem with that is you can be religious to a point that God wants to break your box. And God sometimes just wants to come and have a cup of tea. Amen? And the easiest thing with Jesus is he holds no standard. He holds no standard saying you need to pray so much, you need to read so much to come to me. He's like, no, you come to me. Yeah. The second you come to me, everything follows. Your Bible reading, your prayer, everything follows. Insanity is doing that without him. Amen? The reason why we're going through stuff like dark sayings, and, you know, even something as simple as spiritual disciplines, I have the sense that God wants to prove to us that he's real. Amen? And he is not the God of yesterday. And my prayer is, come and come the way that you want to come. Now, dark sayings, parables, you can look at parables as secrets in the kingdom of God. Because they were not meant for everyone to understand. Correct? Because Jesus told the disciples in, I think it's Matthew 13, only for you it is permitted for you to understand. So there are some secrets that not everyone in the world will understand, but it's permitted for few people. Can we, someone read Psalm 25 verse 14? There are other translations where it says the friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him. With them he shows himself his covenant. And by his covenant it means himself. Amen. Church, God wants to break the box that we put him in. Amen. And this by that I mean in our own personal lives. And he wants to be real. And he's inviting us to a deeper relationship where he is a part of our all our lives. Amen.
Amen.
May he be real.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Can we stand for prayer? Can we just quickly lift up our hands? I'm just going to pray for grace to be released,
yes,
for visions and encounters with God.
Yes.
Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray for your ministry of your presence to be released. And I pray that you would be real. And Father, I pray that you would be intimate. I pray, Father, that the banner of the friendship of God, the friendship of God would become a banner over the houses over here.
Yes.
That even the thoughts of God being my friend. And I pray, Father, for grace, and I pray the anointing for to see, the anointing to hear, the anointing to understand, to be released upon your people. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, may you visit them. May you knock on their door.
Yes,
may they be able to sense and comprehend,
yes,
saying, this is God.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you would be real in their lives. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, the breaker is going ahead of them.
Amen.
The God who breaks forth is going ahead. I prophesy and I declare the breaker to break loose every bondage that has to do with prayerlessness. Every bondage where you are not alive in their lives. May you be alive in every area. I pray the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that brings alive our hearts for fresh love, for fresh love, for fresh intimacy. And Father, for just the wonder that the glory of kings have, where they search out the things that you say, where they search out the mysteries of the kingdom. I cover your people by your blood and I bless them in the name of Jesus. I declare, spiritual eyes, wake up. I declare, oh Father, awaken to your beloved.
Yes.
Awaken your eyes, the one who calls your name.
Yes.
Awaken in the night, awaken early in the morning,
yes,
to the one who knocks upon the door of your heart.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus,
yes,
I pray, amen.
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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Those of you who don't like this word discipline, from today you will start liking this word discipline. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Father, we want to thank you that the Spirit moves in mysterious ways we do not know. But after the wind has blown, we know that the wind has blown. Thank you. Father, we pray, Master. Month of September, thank you. Move of the Spirit. Move of the Spirit in a mighty way. Father, ways we do not understand. Ways that you ordain. Father, may it be. Especially, Lord, I pray everyone, Father God, a discipline of Master, practicing your presence every morning or in the night, Father God. But certainly, Lord, relating with you meaningfully and moving forward. Lord, this is a prayer. Thank you, Lord. The church cannot be stagnant. Father, the church has to move on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we pray the words that we've heard, it will be life. It will help us, Master, to move forward. Thank you. Thank you. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion and fellowship, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each and every one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Please join for the coffee fellowship. God bless you.
not be